invite you to turn your Bibles, will, to the book of Job. The book of Job, chapter 14. Book of Job, chapter 14. Does us well in the book of Job to understand who's speaking. And here it seems that Job is speaking. We understand that to be the case. In Job 14, verse number 1, the scripture says, "Man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble." And, of course, Job is going through a great, great trial, great, great trial of faith. We know in the end that Job is brought to the next thing that the Lord has for him. But Job speaks here in his misery and in this trial that he bears, all the questions that he has, and his three friends that come to comfort him, and he tells them, said, "You're friends, but you sure are sorry friends," and they are. We can learn from them how not to be a friend when some of our friends are in trial and trouble. But he says here, "Man that is born of a woman," which that's the case of all of us. It's not just talking about the male gender, but all of mankind, men, women, are a few days. And so our short time and eternal time is what we want to speak about this morning. Our short time and eternal time. A few days. We understand that the age of the earth is around 6,000 years old, give or take, and we get that right from the scriptures. There are many that doubt that, but the Lord has given us the account about how old the earth is and how long mankind has been here from the creation. There are those that wish to spread lies about that. And you look at 6,000 years, and we don't know how long the earth is going to be here till the Lord comes and he wraps this old earth up and then brings in the new heaven and the new earth. But even at 6,000 years, or even at 12,000 years, or if we tripled that at 18,000 years, up against the eternity, that's just really a few days, isn't it? In Proverbs chapter 27, verse number 1, the scripture says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." And that's just the truth. We know about the past. We're solid on the past because it's happened. And we have this moment now, but we just don't know what the next moment's going to bring. No way for us to know. That's a blessing that the children of God have when our hearts are right with the Lord, is we can rest in our Lord knowing that he's already there. And that gives us comfort. That helps us in security. A day may bring forth a possibility of life, which we all have expectation that it will, don't we? But it brings possibly with it our death. It's just the way that it is. And we need to be sober in regards to that. We need to know that that's the case. In Psalm 103, verses 14 and 15, the scripture says, "For he, the Lord, knoweth our frame and remembereth that we are dust." And how can it be? How is it that the Lord takes that position? Well, our father Adam was created from the dust of the ground. And the Lord formed him. The only creation that the Lord touched, forming us, our father, from the dust of the ground. All others he spoke into existence, all that's around. But he formed us from the dust of the ground and Adam. And the scripture says there in Genesis, he breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And he and we became living souls. "For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more." And just like we've been mowing grass, and we're thankful for the reprieve on mowing grass that we've seen here lately, we really don't think much about mowing grass unless the mower's broke down. Or maybe you don't enjoy mowing. I'm thankful I've got a wife that enjoys mowing. May the Lord bless her. She loves to mow. But we don't think about the grass that is mowed or the little flowers that maybe grow at different times of the year. We see them there, and we might have a greater or lesser appreciation of them, but this is the beauty of the Lord and what He's created. But we go ahead and mow it, and what's it do? It just dries up. The moisture goes out of it, and it blows away or goes back into the ground, doesn't it? We don't think about that. And the Lord looking upon us, the psalmist musing about these things, our days are as grass. It's just very, very short, especially in the mowing season. But even the grass, as we'll leave it be here going into fall, and it'll be there and abide for the winter, then, Lord willing, we're still here in the spring, we'll start mowing again. And that's just not very long, that handful of months, is it? And the Lord says that's the way our lives are, our days are. We flourish, and then the wind passes over us, and we're gone. Isaiah chapter 40. Take a look here if you have your Bibles. Isaiah 40. Verses 5 through 8. Isaiah 40. Verses 5 through 8. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, every person. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof as the flower of the field. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass. Verse 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever. You know, being created by the Lord, a wondrous thing that He has given us life, but we always must remember He is our Creator, and His power is infinite, and we are very finite. We are very small. We are very weak. That doesn't do us a disservice to know that. We're actually very much helped when we know that. Because our God, our Lord, is not a tyrant by any means, but He's a great and wonderful God. Even as weak as we are and as sinful as we are, He's able and does save and rescue us, that we might have a relationship with Him and a walk with Him and one day to be like Him. So who can rail on God that He is evil or bad in any way? But when He does blow upon us, it is just like we're grass. We need to know that. Having been created in the image and likeness of God, we kind of take things and run off with it, thinking that we know our own way. We know what's best. We make the best decision for ourselves. I tell you what, what's it say there at the end of verse number 8? His word, the word of our God, shall stand forever. I tell you what, the Lord Jesus said it on the Sermon on the Mount. If you and I, we don't shape our lives and direct our lives and follow our lives and submit our lives to His word, we're like people that build houses on sand. And so may we know that. Isaiah 64, verse number 6, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all of our righteousnesses as filthy rags. And we do all do fade as a leaf. And we're seeing that now, aren't we? The leaves are falling off the trees. They're blowing around here in the parking lot and in the yards and on the road. And that we're driving through them. We really don't think much about it. But from the pretty green of whatever tree that they're from and the life that is in them, we know they have fallen from those branches now. And because of the change in the weather and the time of the season, those leaves have died. They're fading away, and they'll go back to the ground too. And the scripture tells us and shows us that we do fade as a leaf. Our Lord Jesus, on the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 through 30, he makes a reference here that I find interesting. He's speaking to us about our anxiousness about life and such, and he says, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat and the body than raiment? Is there not more to life than the stuff of life? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. The birds, they're not farmers, are they? Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? Which one of us can add a foot and a half to our height, just by thinking about it? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Just the flower of the field and the intricacy and the wonder of the colors that the Lord gives them. And just the beauty that is in them. All kinds of different flowers. Our ladies like to plant flowers around your house where you live and such. Or have them in the house. And the beauty of the Lord and what he's created in flowers is just a wonder. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven. That's what the Lord says about that. It's such beauty, and it's there, and it's around, and we cultivate it, we have it, but it's there. One of the ladies put out flowers in the fellowship hall last Sunday, so we would have those at our meal there at the end of our revival, and I just noticed that they're in the trash can. It's just, that's the way that it works. And that's what our lives are likened unto. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 24 and 25, "For all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is as the flower of grass." So even Brother Peter, an apostle, bringing this thought into his epistles, he says, "The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away." Because the petals, when it starts drying up, they start falling off the flower, don't they? It just, they're beautiful, they're pretty. But then they just start dying. "The flower thereof falleth away," verse 25 of 1 Peter 1, "but the word of the Lord endureth forever." Another reminder there about the word of the Lord. "And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." We'll touch more on that later. In James, we have this about the grass, we have this about the flower, about us being likened to a leaf. But James chapter 1, I'm sorry, but it's the way that it is, and we need to know it. It's the Lord is telling us the truth. Not only are we like leaves and grass and flowers, but Brother James tells us in chapter 4, verse number 14, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is even a vapor." I mean, that is very little, isn't it? We think about a pot on the stove, the ladies cooking a meal, getting water ready to be used, and that steam coming off of that, and even if you have a tea kettle and it's really, really making some steam, that steam that comes out of that kettle, it dissipates, and kettle, and it just dissipates and is gone just that fast. "It's even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." You know, in thinking about the message and preparing for the message, these passages are here and tell us these things. I was thinking about a song of my past. Maybe some of you, I'm sure some of you that are older, remember a rock band by the name of Kansas. And they have a very popular song by the name of "Dust in the Wind." The words of that are, "I close my eyes only for a moment, and the moment's gone. All my dreams pass before my eyes, a curiosity. Dust in the wind. All they are is dust in the wind." Same old song. I find that reference interesting because there are many songs, not only of Kansas, but of other groups and different people that sing about the same thing. Same old song, just a drop of water in an endless sea. All we do crumbles to the ground, though we refuse to see. Dust in the wind, all we are is dust in the wind. Now don't hang on, nothing lasts forever but the earth and sky. Did you hear that? It slips away, and all your money won't another minute buy. Dust in the wind, all we are is dust in the wind. Dust in the wind, everything is dust in the wind. Brother Jim, why in the world would you bring a rock and roll song to Sunday morning services at Olmsted Baptist Church? Well, to be honest with you, it's part of a thing that it's a handful of things. I want us to understand about things in the world. We speak a lot in church services and in teaching abstractly about things that we need to stay away from. We give the indication that we need to stay away from evil and evil doctrine, evil teaching. But then many, many times, nothing in specific ever gets mentioned. And I, being subject to this song when I was a young person and heard it many times, you know how it is with music. We hear the music, but it takes a while to hear the message. And understand, music always has a message. Music is physical. Music is emotional. And music is spiritual. And we need to watch out about it. The instrumental music of this song, in my opinion, is very beautiful. If you know of this song and you've heard of it, the music played by the instruments is a very, very beautiful thing. It's not your typical wailing on an electric guitar kind of song. They're using acoustic guitars and violins, and it's very beautiful. The melody of the song and the harmony of the singers is beautiful. But you heard the message. The message is deadly. The message is deadly. And the message of the song is deadly and is evident of the way people think. The way people feel, if you will. It seems to me to be a message of despair, doesn't it? All we are is dust in the wind. And understand, this comes from people that are pursuing a thing, as it is with all men, natural men. They pursue a thing, they're trying to gain a thing, whatever it is. Ultimately, I think it could be described in a general sense, in a broad sense, as peace. But this message of despair and other songs of this band convey the same. He said it himself, same old song. But the earth and the sky are not eternal, are they? They're not. But there's many people that get past the melody of the song, the prettiness of the instrumental part of it, and begin to listen to the words. And you know what it'll do? It'll begin to connect with the way they feel, with where they are in life. You know how I know that? Because I did it. I did it. Not with this song and this band, but with other bands. I did it. They understood my pain. They understood my displeasure, my grief, and so on as a young person. The earth and sky are not eternal, but the soul of man is eternal. The soul of man is the farthest thing from being dust in the wind. At the very least, this song sends a message of the opposite of the truth. And you know what? Satan would love nothing more than to have every person believe this song. He'd love nothing more than that. And we need to warn our children of such. You know what's happened with rock and roll music For now, we've got about 60 years of it under our belt. And once rock and roll music hit about the 70s to 80s, it has become timeless. Oh, you'll have a station on Sirius XM that'll play the 70s, and another station to play the 80s, and another station to play the 90s. But I tell you what, some of the songs that I used to listen to in the 70s and the 80s just fit right in just right now. You can't tell they're old. Now, you can tell Buddy Holly is old, but you can't tell that Kansas songs are old. And isn't that interesting? Is it the work of God? No, it's not. It's the work of the mystery of iniquity and wicked men. Watch out for the doctrine of songs and the folks that sing them. As it says in Ecclesiastes 7:5, it's better to hear the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the song of fools. And that reference there is song of fools. The fool says in his heart, there is no God. Better to hear the rebuke of the wise. The wise to get on you about your life than to listen to the song of a fool saying that it'll all be okay. Children, beware of fools and what they teach in their songs. Beware of them. You know, and the danger is our children are just like little sponges. Remember how the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 11:14-15, and no marvel, for Satan himself was transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. It's a very pretty song from the standpoint of the music, the melody, the harmony of the singers. I mean, that cannot be denied. But woven in there is a message of death, a message of against Christ. And may God help us to have discerning hearts about it. If we stopped as with these fellas, if we stopped with only our mortal experiences, if we stopped only with our mortal experiences, or only with the verses that I've mentioned earlier, you know, we might come to the same conclusion as this man that wrote this song. All we are is dust in the wind. We see people live. As we get older, we find out how short of a time we have lived. And then we die. Right about when you're able to get a handle on things and understand a few things and do a few things, it's time for your body to check out and you can't do much. Right? And we're coming, all of us, to one degree or another here this morning, are coming from a position of understanding some about what the Lord says. And so we've been blessed with that. But this life is short. And what a sad, sad thing to think that this life is all that there is. You know, philosophers have thought this same thing from the beginning. In Isaiah 22, the siege and the punishment by the Lord promised upon Judah, when they should be weeping and mourning and should be repenting before the Lord, they're saying, live it up. Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die. Because that's what they're thinking is that this judgment of the Lord's coming upon us. Well, if we've got enough to have a party, let's just go ahead and have a party because we're going to die sure as shooting. So let's just live it up right now. That's what philosophers have thought. And Brother Paul makes reference to that in 1 Corinthians 15. He said in a nutshell, I'll paraphrase for you, if my stand for the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection is not true, why do I endure all this stuff that is taking me towards death and killing me physically and all this controversy and everything? I fought with these crazy men at Ephesus and other places where I've been. You know, if it's not true, well, then let's just take the position. Let's eat, drink, and live it up. For tomorrow, we're going to kick off, and that'll be the end of it. Of course, Paul is declaring there that it is true, the resurrection, an eternity. Is that not the general statement of the rock and roll crowd? Drug, sex, and rock and roll, for tomorrow we die. Yeah, I mean, that's just common knowledge. They are there, they have talent. And with their talent, they're taking, and it seems like they're making a hue and cry of their displeasure that they cannot find peace on this earth. They're very much like Solomon. They can have anything or anyone that they want. And they find out in the end it just doesn't satisfy. They have no peace. No peace whatsoever. They seem to have the same opinion as Solomon, don't they? Looking only at all of life, only being this mortal life. Our short time of mortality and our eternity. In Ecclesiastes 12, though, we see here much of that physical that is faced. But then there's something here that the passage ends up with that tells us that there is more beyond this life. In Ecclesiastes 12, verses 1 through 7, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble." You know what's being spoken about here? He's not talking about people in the house shaken, or the sun and the moon are darkened. He's talking about the degradation of the body. When cataracts come on. Now, you know, we're blessed. We live in a time we get cataracts. We'll get them taken out, get new lenses put in. You know, as a whole, that happens. Many of you have had that done, or some of you have had that done. What a blessing it is. Can you imagine living in a day when there was no cure for cataracts? "The keepers of the house shall tremble. The frailty moves in. The strong men shall bow themselves. The arms are just not as strong. The legs are not as strong. The grinders cease because they are few. The teeth begin to fall out. Those that look out the windows be darkened. The doors shall be shut in the streets, and the sound of the grinding is low when the hearing begins to fail. And shall rise up the voice of a bird, and all the daughters of music shall be brought low. When they shall be afraid of that which is high," because we all know older people don't want to get up on a ladder, most. You know, your grandmother didn't care, did she? But, you know, it's just that way, because, you know, height can hurt you. "And fear shall be in the way. The almond tree shall flourish, the grayness of the hair of the head. The grasshopper shall be a burden, whether it be to jumps on you and startles you, or it's there in the house chirping if you can hear it and you just can't find it. Desire shall fail, because man goeth to his long home and the mourners go about the streets." You know, that's what man has seen for all these millennia, is that we come here, we live, and so quickly it begins to wrap up and the body begins to fail and we're going to die. "Wherever the silver cord be loosed," verse 6, "or the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher be broken at the fountain, or the wheel be broken at the cistern." Some believe that this is talking about even our organs, the spinal cord and the liver, the heart, the pumping of the blood in the body and that of the pulse. "Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." We see all that of the failing of the body and the coming to the end of life, but that last part, the spirit, is going to go back to God who gave it. This mortal life is short, but it is not the end. And can you imagine living and having never been shown or told that before? That's millions of people have been in that shape. They've never been told otherwise. You and I, we've been blessed that we've been told. Mortal life is short, but eternity is forever. It says in Revelation chapter 11, verses 17 and 18, saying, "We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath has come," but it didn't change anything, the nations being angry. "And the time of the dead, that they should be judged. And thou shouldest give reward unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldest destroy them which destroy the earth." You got two groups there. The children of God and the unbelieving and unrepentant brought to judgment. That's the beginning of eternity. It's pointing out a man wants to die, and after that, the judgment. That's what the scripture tells us. Christ died once, that sinners could be saved, that his people could be saved. And so it is, as Christ died once, it's pointed unto us once to die, and after that, the judgment. And we're one of two groups. That's how eternity begins. It's not a light thing. It's a very, very serious thing. Our Lord Jesus tells us in the book of Matthew, Matthew 10, 28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." The same mention in Luke 12, 5, "But I will forewarn you whom ye shall fear. Fear him which after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say unto you, fear him." Because the Lord Jesus, the Savior, the Creator, is the judge, and he's got that power to throw into hell. He's got the power to save, too. He's got the keys of life and of death. And that's the beginning of eternity for every person when we leave out of here. Where do you stand with the Lord Jesus Christ? I read to you this in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 24 and 25, where Peter tells us that all flesh is as grass. He's quoting from the Old Testament, we believe, "And all the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you." He goes on in chapter 2 from those words, "The gospel preached unto you." He's preaching that. He's writing that to saints. But is reaffirming what? The word of God. The Savior of the Lord. And salvation through him. We are saved. That's what we have. And we have a great hope in eternity. And understand, that's not a lottery kind of hope. That's not a, well, maybe I'll win, maybe I won't. But the hope of the Bible is sure and steadfast. It is solid. It's going to happen as long as Jesus Christ lives. And that's the hope that we have. The death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, by which we have been saved, by repentance of our sins, faith in him, the quickening of his spirit. That gospel preached unto us is the surety that we have for eternity. Amen. If you're here and you're not saved, that's who you need. You need him. Because see, we're not dust in the wind. We're souls, eternal, created by God. See, in Psalm 49, verses 6 through 9, "They that trust in their wealth and boast themselves in the multitude of their riches, none of them can by any means redeem his brother, nor give to God a ransom for him. For the redemption of their soul is precious, and it ceaseth forever." Verse 9, "that he should still live forever and not see corruption." See, we can't buy salvation for one another. And all the wealth of the world and all the influence and power of the world amongst men could all piled up together, couldn't touch the salvation of one sinner. The soul is that precious, and the necessity of the rescue and the payment, the redemption, the atonement that's necessary, and the Savior to intercede and rescue can only be accomplished by the Lord Jesus Christ. This earth and the sky, it won't be forever. But the word of the Lord is. And by the word of the Lord, the gospel is preached unto us. And that gospel declares that you and I, we need a Savior, and Jesus Christ is the one. Because there's more to life than this mortal life. There is the eternal life that all of us will live in one place or another. Our short life and our eternal life. You need a Savior. You, my, our mortal time is short, but eternity is forever. As Peter declares unto us in that same chapter, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." That's the redemption that sinners need. The blood of Jesus Christ applied to you. Also in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, understand, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." He's the Savior. He's the Savior. Our time, our short time and our eternal time. I pray that you are equipped and ready to face the eternal time. And the only way that you and I can be is through our Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation. And that's only found in this short mortal time. You don't take and make all that right after you die. And don't plan on taking it and making it all right at the time of death. Because you know what happens with men, women, boys, and girls when they're brought to death? We're too busy trying to hang on. As a rule, we're too busy trying to hang on to that we cannot hang on to. And sinners get very much preoccupied with trying to hang on to life, fearing eternity, but not able to reckon with the Lord then because you're too busy hanging on. That's generally what happens with sinners. Oh, exceptions, sure. But the exceptions are few compared to what happens with men. And then it's a mercy and it's a sadness in our day. So many, when with hospice and everything, and I understand the give and the take of that, but so many go out of this life sedated, to where they can't even reckon with the Lord. The Lord says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. Our short life and our eternal life. Are you ready for that eternal life? May the Lord help us. Help us with his word.